This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't know that the Patriots are really... I know they're not an elite team. I think there's one elite team in the AFC right now. It's Baltimore. And then there's the Chiefs, there's the Texans, and there's the Pats. And I think that of that mix... I think the Patriots are maybe the fourth best team in the AFC right now. I really do, John. I mean, their schedule.
That's fair.
Their schedule
I don't, is, but that's fair.
Where would you put them?
I would go Ravens 1, and then probably Chiefs, then Patriots 3. I think the Patriots are right behind that. Now, I know, where are the Texans? They just beat the Patriots. Look, you have to take the entire breadth of the work, right? And they're still 10-2, and I still think – what they do best defensively can keep them in and win a lot of games, the Patriots.
I don't know, man. I mean, we've seen them play. We've seen them play, you know, a few good teams. And, mm-hmm. I mean, they beat Pittsburgh, who's didn't have – Roethlisberger was banged up. They beat Buffalo, but the only reason they beat Buffalo is because Josh Allen got hurt, mm-hmm. And they had to bring in their backup. They squeaked it out against the Cowboys, and they lost to the Texans. And quite honestly, they got dominated by the Ravens as well. I mean, they were really dominated for the majority of the game yesterday. I don't think this Patriots team is that good, to the point where if I'm looking at the Texans' playoff run right now, if the playoffs began today, the Texans would face the Steelers with their third-string quarterback. I think you'd feel good about that. I know it's a different beast, and I can't believe I'm making myself say this.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be that nervous about the Texans going to Foxborough in the playoffs.
I mean,
I know it's crazy as hell to say.
That is crazy
and I
as
get
hell
it.
To say.
I get it that they flipped the switch. Get it. I know how much harder it is, but I would not. Let me ask you this. Let me just put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
We're already talking about the playoffs. I think the Texans are in a good spot right now with the playoffs, especially with the Colts' loss yesterday. But just rank this 1-3, John.
Okay.
I want you to rank this in destinations that you would least like to go to for the Texans in the playoffs: Baltimore, Kansas City, New England. How would you rank that as far as the fear factor?
I think those are the top three teams, and it's going to be a fear factor no matter what. But I would rank them. Probably Baltimore 1, New England 2. New England, especially because of weather, what they do in that stadium, their record. I agree with you about Tom Brady. He's not the same guy. I agree with you that the Patriots are not quite looking like a 10-2 team. I disagree on their defense. They've given up more than 2 touchdowns this year 3 times. They've given up more than 1 touchdown this year 3 times. They've given up more than 2 now twice. The other game was the Ravens. They've given up more than 2 touchdowns in just 2 games, including last night. They can play some defense no matter the opposing quarterback, no matter anything. And that's why I think it's such a big win. And, you know, and I talk about statements. The other statement that it does is it talks to Houston fans, man. You know, hop back on board, you know, because this is a team that is so easy to has been.
I mean, the locker room's as likable as it gets.
Well, not only that, but I'm saying this is a team that has been so easy to kind of check out on, right? Oh, no. You know, we've heard the almost team stuff. We've heard, you know, we've seen shortcomings in the postseason. We've seen them not quite get over the hump, you know, beat the good teams and the average teams, but and the below average teams, and then lose to the great teams. Well, they've beaten 2 really, really good teams, if not great, already with the Chiefs and the Patriots. I think people are starting to say, well, maybe things are different this time.
And I think it's very likely that you're looking at this and 7 days from now, we're talking about the Texans being 1 game behind the Patriots.
Yeah,
I mean, you're facing a Denver team with a quarterback making his second start in Drew Lock. You should expect to win that game. I don't think I'm going out on a limb saying the Texans should expect to win that.
Yeah.
And the Patriots are facing the Chiefs. I mean, it's very likely that, you know, in a week, we're talking about the Texans being 1 game behind.
And then what happens?
And then they got to face the Bengals. I mean, the Patriots basically get a bye week with the Bengals, and then they're going to face the Buffalo Bills. And I wouldn't even sleep on the Dolphins in Week 17, honestly.
Well, given what happened last night and Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic doing his thing. I'm telling you, man, it's this Patriots team, I've said it 100 times, they're a good team. I'm not saying they're complete trash, but they're not elite. And the Texans are a better team. And they had, and most importantly, they had the better quarterback right now. Deshaun Watson is better than Tom Brady. Just say it. Mm-hmm. Just say it, John. It'll make you feel good.
I said it last week, and people thought I was nuts. You agreed with me. I said last week, I think if you gave Bill Belichick truth serum and said, just for now, and not what happened in the past, but starting now, would you rather have Deshaun Watson as your quarterback or Tom Brady? And I thought the answer would be Deshaun Watson. I think that even more so now. Deshaun Watson was magical. You know, we've been talking about, we're starting to take him for granted a little bit, right?
Really?
I mean.
Now that's something nobody's talking about.
Well, I mean, we know how great he is, but it's like.
Who's taking him for granted?
How much have we really talked about how good he was yesterday? We've talked about the defense. We've talked about, you know, the statement.
We just expect it, which would be taken for granted.
We've talked about Bill O'Brien's play calling, the trick plays. We've talked about the cornerbacks that have stepped up. We haven't really said, you know who won that game? Number four won that game, man. I mean, I talk about, you know, they put four touchdowns up on the Patriots. He was a part of all four of them. And plus, every time I looked up, Deshaun Watson was making a crucial third down conversion. Throwing the ball, running the ball, whatever it was. Statistically, this is where stats lie. Statistically, the Patriots and the Texans had about the same third down conversion rate yesterday. But from what I saw, the clutch third down conversions were drastically in favor of the Texans, and that points to Deshaun Watson.
And the other thing, man, you can just, whenever the Patriots are in town, you just feel it, man. Like, whether you're going to the grocery store, whether you're just driving around, you can just kind of feel that the Patriots were coming to town yesterday. And we were critical of Texans fans for the light show and all that, the Colts, the failed light show and everything. But I think the Texans fans actually deserve a lot of credit yesterday because that atmosphere was nice. And maybe you sprinkle in the fact that there were Patriots fans that were
lots
loud as well, and you can't really tell the colors because they're pretty much the exact same colors. But as far as an atmosphere, I would say that's the best atmosphere that I've seen in maybe the last 4 years.
It
like
was
honestly, it, playoff games included, I think that was the best atmosphere that I've seen out there. In the last few
plus
years.
Plus night game, everybody's just, you know, juiced up.
And it
maybe
always goes,
sometimes literally.
It always goes, well, not sometimes, definitely. I think it goes back to number four, too. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
There's a certain buzz that comes with, you know, Deshaun Watson being out there. And it was a hell of a win. I don't think we can minimize it, but I do think that's not a very good Patriots.
And maybe
team.
Just maybe. By the way, the text board was overwhelmingly on my side when I brought this
they
up
were.
Earlier. Maybe just maybe you're going to convert some of those T-shirt Patriots fans that are your neighbors and your coworkers and your friends that live in Houston. A lot of people travel from New England to watch this game. But of the people that somebody said 30, 40% of the stadium was Patriots fans, a lot of those were Houstonians, man. And you win games like this, it's how you start converting those people into the home team rather than a team that's just been successful for the last 20 years.
I mean, how do you do that, though? Like,
you keep winning the games like this.
No, but I'm saying, like, how do you go from being a Patriots fan living in Houston to all of a sudden just saying, you know what, I'm going to be a Texans fan now?
It happens. There's not as many Cowboys fans in Texas, in Houston, and San Antonio as there were before.
But, I mean, that was a unique situation, right? Because there's Cowboy fans everywhere, but that was kind of a situation where they left, like mm-hmm. the Oilers left, so you had to adopt a team, right? And I mean that was really before the Patriots, you know, this dynasty began. Like, so you're telling me that some of these people that are all of a sudden Patriots fans are just going to say, "Well, Tom Brady's 43, Bill Belichick's old. I'm going to be a Texans
over,
fan now."
Gradually over time, yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
What the hell is that,
dude? That's how they became Patriots fans. You can't say they can't do that again. You think all these fans that were from Houston, and we got so many texts saying, yeah, you know, these are the people that I work with, my family, whatever. That's how they became Patriots fans. They, over time, they grew to appreciate what Tom Brady.
How does that happen?
It happens. You think there have been Patriots fans? You think some 40-year-old dude that's a giant Patriots fan that was in that stadium wearing a Julian Edelman jersey or whatever.
If you're a 40-year-old and you're doing that, you're a weirdo.
But it happens. Dude,
I mean, I see kids
dude,
doing
I was
it.
Walking. Figgy, you back me
Bro,
up on
I
this.
I can see kids,
yeah,
but
no,
you're,
I agree.
You're a grown-ass man, and you just decided to be a Patriots fan, and now you're going to go be a Texans fan?
Yes.
What in the hell is that?
That's what happens.
Like,
you
I
got
get
six
kids.
Rings.
Bro, I get kids doing it. But a grown ass man.
Yes.
So you're a 30-year-old and you just decide you're gonna wear a Tom Brady jersey and be a Pats fan?
We were walking in around that parking lot yesterday.
Weird, man.
And I can't tell you how many groups of people that were clearly friends, or two guys walking in the stadium, or two girls walking in the stadium, where one was wearing a Texans jersey, the other one was wearing a Patriots fan jersey. Those are Houstonians, man. And so that 40-year-old dude that I just talked about, he's been a Patriots fan for, let's say, the last 12 to 15 years.
Okay.
All right. He didn't grow up a Patriots fan. He was converted because of their success.
It's weird.
Because of their star power.
Strange, man.
Because of their Super Bowl wins.
Just strange.
So how do you win them back? You start doing that and win more games like you won last night.
It's just extreme, man. Like, I get the Cowboy thing because it's America's team. Mm-hmm. You grew up watching them and stuff like that. No one was growing up watching the Patriots. If you're a grown-ass 40-year-old man and you're wearing a Julian Edelman jersey to the game, and then all of a sudden you're going to trade that in for Deshaun Watson, you're a weirdo, man. Mm-hmm. You are. I'm sorry. I don't have any other way to put it, but you're just a total weirdo. I'm not disputing that it happens, but that's just weird, John. Mm-hmm. That's just absolutely
weird. It happens.
713-572-4610 to get in. Let's go to Tony. Tony, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Major fan, Big Loophole here.
Thanks, sir.
For sure. I had two questions. All right, one, I was listening during bye week, and you guys said if the Texans won two out of these three games, they were going to be in real good shape.
Yeah.
I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that because they did win those games.
Yeah.
And two, how are the Texans a real Super Bowl contender at this point? And if not, what are they missing?
All right.
I'll shut up and hang up and let you guys do
that.
Don't be so hard on yourself there, man.
Shut up, Tony. You do your thing. I think those are good questions. You are right. The two out of three. And the Texans are in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're in good shape. Now, as far as being a Super Bowl contender, I would say no. Because I don't think I think there are the elite teams, the New Orleans, the Baltimores, and then there's they have a chance to win any given Sunday because of what we've seen them do against Kansas City and New England. But as far as Super Bowl contender, I'm not ready to say that just yet.
I just think I'm not quite ready yet either. But I've been the one that's been saying all along they're capable. This is the first time in 18 years that I think I've seen a Texans team capable of getting there. The problem is who you got to go through. And where you got to play that game. So unless somebody, you know, ask me again if somebody ousts the Ravens, because then I'll feel a little bit better about having to go to Foxborough. Maybe not great, but a little better. Or Kansas City.
I think the question that's going to be answered in the next 4 weeks is, are the Texans closer to the Ravens or are they closer to the Titans? And I think that's where we're going to be able to evaluate things, because you got two matchups with the red hot Titans, who are 5-1 since Tannehill took over. We know the Texans aren't quite with the Ravens. We saw what happened, the 41-7 loss.
Yeah.
But are they closer to the Ravens or are they closer to the Titans? And I think that's what's going to be answered. Reaction Monday continues here on Sports Radio 610. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, and my man Figgy Fig. Deshaun Watson, he was the better quarterback yesterday. It's just, you just have to accept it. And he was better than Tom Brady. Let's hear from Tom Brady next.
Against a team like the Patriots, who's been doing it for so long, you know, with the talent and the things they've been doing for this season, it was big for us. It builds our confidence. It builds the momentum for us to continue to try to push on. And it just shows us and shows the world that we can play with anybody at any given day if we come up and play. So, you know, for us, we got to continue to keep rolling, continue to find ways to get better, correct the mistakes, and keep pushing forward.
Confidence. That's the word Deshaun Watson uses, confidence.
Mm-hmm. He agrees with me.
Reset what he agrees with you on.
No, about the statement game, how it means so much as much in the locker room as it does outside, and can't emphasize that enough. I mean, especially, I mean, him of all people. I don't think he ever has lacked for confidence that he can get the job done. I mean, look what he's done his entire career, and now he knows he's gotten over the Patriots and anything, as he just said, you know, he says they're capable too. Capable of doing it.
The betting line is not out yet for the Texans Broncos. I'm not sure what the holdup is there, but the Patriots this weekend against the Chiefs, they're a 3-point favorite at Foxborough. Patriots over the Chiefs. Is that
so kind
surprise
of a push.
You a little bit?
A little bit. Because they play low scoring games. Maybe it doesn't surprise me as much as I thought it at first. But they got the home field advantage. They should be the favorites.
I don't know, man. I don't see how. I mean, I guess they are home, so it'll be there. But I just think the Chiefs are a better team than the Patriots. So we'll just have to see. You know, it's going to be a rough week there, though, because If you saw Bill Belichick and you saw Tom Brady after the game, Belichick appeared to take it a little bit harder than Brady.
How about the handshake?
But the handshake afterwards, what's up with that? Do him and B.O.B. hate each other because of Casario, you think?
I think that could be a possibility, but I think Bill Belichick he's just a surly, unhappy person, and even more so when they lose. By the way, -7.5 on one website that I looked at.
-7.5 is what you got right now for the Texans against the Broncos. Okay, yeah. I mean, so that this should be it should be a win, and we should be talking about the Texans down the stretch, potentially either a game behind the Patriots with two games remaining against the Tennessee Titans. Would you be like, if you were Bill O'Brien, and I know Bill O'Brien, he's a hard ass, and he's gonna put on the front, and you know his personality. I'm not like breaking any news there. I'm not even like knocking the personality, but. If you took it on the chin from Bill Belichick five times, like you've taken it on the chin five times from Bill Belichick, he's completely owned you. You worked under him. At the end of the day, you want his respect. A lot of people even call it the Patriot South, so you're trying to build a program like him.
Mm-hmm.
But you get your ass kicked by Bill Belichick five times, and all five of those times you walk to midfield and you shake his hand. However, you see fit, you walk to midfield and you shake his hand. And then the one time that you beat him, the one time that you clearly have the better team, he gives you that half-ass effort. That's ridiculous to me. I would be a little bit ticked off and feel very disrespected if I were Bill O'Brien.
And he should. By the way, for some who maybe didn't see the video of the handshake, Bill O'Brien came across the field, saw Tom Brady, good, strong, eye-to-eye handshake. Hey, I'm sure he called him Billy. And then he kind of darted to his left and found Belichick and said, hey, you know, whatever. And Belichick gave him one of those little kind of half, limp-wristed, soft, wet handshakes.
Like a dead fish.
For like a quarter second and moved on.
Just classless, man.
It was. That's Belichick.
Just
though,
totally
man.
Classless. And after the game, Bill Belichick, we'll hear from him a little bit later on. He was not in the best mood. Tom Brady, however, kind of joking around, a little bit more relaxed at the podium. Here is the greatest quarterback of all time after he took the L yesterday at NRG.
Just execution. So just got to do a better job, and tough to get behind and come back. And just put ourselves in a pretty deep hole. And, you can't do that on the road.
Talk to James White. He indicated, look, there were plays to be made. It was execution, not lack of ability. Do you agree with that assessment?
It doesn't matter. We're, didn't get the job done. So loss is loss, and learn from it and try to move on to next week.
Tom, we saw you come off the field and you were on the bench, kind of encourage your guys, your wide receiver group. What kind of things were you saying to them and trying to get Jacoby going, trying to get Harry going, those kind of things?
Yeah, it's just, I think we're all trying to do, is a good job out there. And I give them credit. They played well. We didn't make enough plays, and just wasn't a great game.
Can you take us back to the interception and just what you saw on that play?
I threw it, and they got it. Bad result.
And on the two-point conversion, can you explain how you balance it? I assume you didn't want to take a timeout there. And was it the look they were giving you that you didn't want to run the play? You guys had to call?
Yeah. Didn't like the look.
The timeout is more important, right?
Yeah, we didn't want to use a timeout, but
Tom, it was a weird week with the illnesses and how did it have an effect on the preparation, or did you see anything that carried over?
I think the guys just battled hard, and I think there was I think you deal with a lot of adversity over the course of the season, and I don't think that had any effect on the game. I think us trying to figure out how to do a better job for 60 minutes is what's most important, and I'm proud of the guys, the way they, fought through the week, and played against a good team on the road, and when you don't play good, you don't win, so we didn't deserve it.
Tom, can you take something out of coming back fourth quarter and the productivity that you guys put together offensively in that fourth quarter?
I mean, we lost the game, so, we lost, we'll learn from it, see if we can use things as we move forward, and try to do a better job.
With all that frustration, obviously, that you have, Tom, and what you're going through, see you're battling, and it hasn't been easy. What's your mindset with your group, your offense, with four games left? Hey, last year you were 9-5 coming out of Pittsburgh. what's your mentality as you go forward here with this group?
Kind of what it's always been, what it's been all year. You know, just try to do the best we could do out there and see if we could do a better job, you know, in all areas. So, you know, see if we can get to a good place and put ourselves in a good position. So, you know, we got a tough one this week. It's a, you know, long flight home. I'm going to try to get ready and get back at it.
Tom, is this group talented enough offensively to take you where you want to be?
I mean, like I said, we're battling. We're trying as hard as we can. And, you know, hopefully we can make enough plays and, you know, be the best we could be. It doesn't – all remains to be seen. So, you know, you can make a bunch of predictions and so forth. But that's not what it's about. It's about going out there and doing it. And, you know, a lot of guys made some plays tonight and try to build on it and see if we can do better next week. So, thank you, guys.
That was the final one, Stacey.
Class dismissed. Thank you, guys.
You know what a true nobody's talking about? Because Tom Brady did not sound 100% himself right there. Had the big cough when they asked him about the flu, which I sure hope he did on purpose. That'd be pretty sweet. But remember, the Cowboys went and played the Patriots in the rain and cold with a bunch of guys with the flu. The Patriots then had the flu this past week. I sure hope the Texans got their flu shots. Have you thought about that? They had to fly two separate planes, the sick plane and the regular plane, to get some of the Patriots into town for the game last night. It just kind of occurred to me as I was hearing his voice. I'm like, boy, Tom Brady didn't feel that good. What happened? Yeah, that was it. The Cowboys got the Patriots sick. The Patriots came to Houston. That doesn't make me feel real good about some of these guys not maybe catching the flu.
I mean, you got to make the players get flu shots, right?
You would think.
I mean, especially if you knew that the Patriots were going to be sick, you got to make them get those, right? I mean, that's common sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's safe to say that that won't happen. And let's be honest, if you are going to get sick, Denver with Drew Locke is probably the right time.
Broncos week.
Yeah, just not against the Titans. Let's go to Rick. Rick, you're on Reaction Monday on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Well, guys, good afternoon. How y'all doing?
Terrific, man.
Hey, you made a comment earlier that, you know, about the Patriots uniforms, you know, customers wearing them at the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've probably been to several hundred games in my life, and I'm talking way back in the Oilers days. Worst case scenario was probably be the Cowboys when they came to town. You know, all the Cowboy fans came out of the woodwork. But I swear, last night took the cake. There must have been at least, like you said, 40% of the people wearing Patriots jerseys. You know, it just makes you feel weird when you go into a stadium and the Texans playing the way they're playing, and you got all these Patriot fans. It just blew me away.
And a lot of them are in Houston.
Appreciate you, Rick.
A lot of them are Houstonians. Keep winning games like last night, man.
It's so weird, man.
It is.
It's just so, so, so weird to me. You got to stay a Patriot fan now.
No, you don't.
Stay one.
It's like, I'll go back to it. They weren't Patriots fans when they became Patriots fans, you know, most of them.
So strange.
Yeah.
So strange. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Reaction Monday continuing. We heard from Tom Brady. Let's hear from Bill Belichick, and let's get more into the Texans' the final quarter of the season and how it shapes up. That's next. Texans get the W, 28-22. You could see it coming, John. You could feel it in the air, off to a perfect start. And then at the end, things got a little bit interesting, but the Texans, for the most part, dominate the New England Patriots. 28-22, B.O.B., he's minimizing it. No surprise there. But this, he woke up a happy man today. He said he actually spoke with his father about, you know, just how competitive the league is. But Bill O'Brien is a happy, happy, happy man. I still think he's got his eye on the prize, but he's happier today than he would be any other win. This was not just another win to Bill O'Brien.
It couldn't have been. And if he just thinks about it from a football perspective, forget, you know, the awkward kind of evasive way that people were asking about a pretty big thing in football. When the quarterback or a player gathers the team together in the locker room and presents the game ball to the head coach, That's one of the greatest honors a coach gets, because it's his team, it's his players, and they're giving him the game ball for that day. It had to have meant something. But even if we take him for his word, and well, you'll hear it. We're going to play some more of the what Bill O'Brien talked about this morning later, how he just completely wanted to talk about anything but getting the game ball. Just from a football perspective, it had to mean a lot. Because of where they are now in the standings, how much the path got easier for them, and more than anything, how much Bill O'Brien has to know the confidence that it's given his team collectively.
I mean, you all but wrapped up a playoff spot yesterday.
Pretty much.
I mean, the division, it's still going to be a battle with Tennessee for the division. You're only a game up, and you got two games remaining. But the team at the bottom right now of the playoff picture is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 7-5.
Right.
And it's hard to imagine Pittsburgh going out there and winning the next four games. You pretty much wrapped up a playoff spot yesterday with that win. If you'd lost, things would be extremely interesting, but you're in good shape right now in regards to the playoffs.
Even if the Titans catch you and win the division, you've got eight wins with four games left, and the only other contenders outside looking in have six. So they would have to go on a really good hot streak. That would be the Raiders, the Colts, and then of course the Browns are distant 5-7. So even if the Titans come here and win the division, you're probably going to get the second ahead of the Steelers, the second wild card berth.
And I mean, you look at it right now, you got Denver. Denver is coming to town. You're a 7.5-point favorite there. They got a rookie quarterback who's going to be making his second start. Mm-hmm. And then you got the Titans twice, and you got the Tampa Bay Bucks. So you got to think, if you can go 2-2, 3-1, you're going to be in the tournament. Now, if you go 4-0, it could get very interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and pick the Texans to win four straight. I mean, that would be a hell of a win streak. They can beat any of these teams. As a matter of fact, I think they might. There's a chance that they might be favored in all of these games. I mean,
By 7.5 early, according to one site on Sunday.
Going to Tennessee, I don't know how that's going to shape up, but it's going to be a 2 or 3 point line. But the Texans could very well be favored in every single one of their remaining games. Mm-hmm. Literally every single one of those. And that's going to be interesting to see how it does shape up, because we know that the Texans, that they're not a bad team. We don't think they're an elite team, but they are in that mix. And if you do win the next four games, it's a big if, but it's very possible. There's a chance New England loses two of their last four, because they got Buffalo and they got Kansas City this weekend. Mm-hmm. If we get on the air on Monday, 7 days from now, and the Texans do what they're supposed to do and take care of the Broncos, and then Kansas City beats the New England Patriots, you're one game behind the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
For a first-round bye and to really set things up nicely.
If the Texans hold up their end and win three of the four or maybe sweep, because all you have to do is finish tied with them, you have the tiebreaker advantage with the Patriots.
I just don't know what to make of, you know, where the Texans are in the pecking order of the AFC. I think they are a top four team, but I just don't know how big the gap is right now between Baltimore and everybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, was what we saw a few weeks ago against the Ravens, was that an escape from reality, or was that a representation of how much better they are than everybody else? Because they dominated the Patriots.
Maybe they're just Ohio State or LSU. See, because Ohio State and LSU, to me, are clear top two teams in college football.
Right.
Right? But that doesn't mean that Clemson is chumps. You know, it doesn't mean Alabama's chumps. It just means that they're that much better. Maybe the Ravens are the Ohio State / LSU. The Texans are right there. They're going to be in the hunt. The Patriots are right there. Right behind them. And I just think they're just that much better, the Ravens.
So you think the Texans are right there still?
I do.
With Baltimore?
No. Right behind Baltimore.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Right behind Baltimore is what I'm thinking. I don't think the Chiefs are in Baltimore's league.
No, but they're getting healthy at the right time.
That doesn't mean the Chiefs are a bunch of chumps.
They're getting healthier at the right time, though.
Right. I think it's just like there's a head and shoulders, this year. There's a clear difference between number one and then the next group of three or four teams, whatever you want to put in there, and then everybody else. So I think, and that's not to say that the Texans, faced Baltimore again. Even if it's in Baltimore, odds against you, crazy things happen. They just have to be able to be in position to get to that game, and they got in better position last night, a much better position. They're going to, like you said, it's all but secure a playoff berth. Just, take care of your own business, and you're going to be in the playoffs. And you got a real easy shot if you just take care of the Titans games, to win the division and finish the number three seed.
See, I think if we're talking about the second tier and we're putting Baltimore above everybody else, I think Tennessee's right there.
I mean, I'm telling you, man. I was that was my pick to win the division before the season was the Titans, and I said that there could be three teams in this division to make the playoffs. Obviously, the Colts have kind of fallen off, but I'm telling you, if we're talking about the Texans, we're talking about the Patriots, and we're talking about the Chiefs, I don't think the Titans are far behind. I really don't, and they're 5-1 with Ryan Tannehill right now. They're running the ball. Whenever Derrick Henry starts running downhill, it's dangerous. I'm really not. If we are going to talk about, you know, just the remainder, I think the Texans will be favored against the Titans. Mm-hmm. That Titans team, nobody wants to play them right now.
They beat
nobody.
You up.
Nobody wants a piece of them.
They beat you up, and the Texans are going to have them 2 times in 3 weeks. And they pound you with the running game. All of a sudden, look, we're really excited about what's going on and what we're watching. The only thing that I would raise an eyebrow at last night in terms of performance is giving up the rushing yards again. You know, I get the fourth quarter, but that's kind of human nature. They kind of let down a little bit collectively, and that is, by the way, still Tom Brady. That I guess was their second touchdown drive that the Patriots was far too easy. But in terms of what they're doing defensively, I think the only thing that I'm really concerned about right now is the Texans against the rush, the run defense, and you know what? That's what the Titans do best.
I mean, Tennessee has. I mean, Derrick Henry's the third leading rusher in the NFL, and I mean that's going to be something to keep an eye on because man, I'm telling you, man, the way if you watch that Colts Titans game, we talk about the Colts and how physical they are. Titans were up for every single ounce of that. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, they didn't. You know, play their style and try to make like a lot of times like you'll see the Texans like they play a little bit different style against the Colts. It's a little bit more, I don't want to say finesse, but it's not right. As physical as what the Colts do. Titans wanted every part of that, and they got Ryan Tannehill.
That's
now.
What they prefer.
And if we're talking about coaching, if we're talking about the job that coaching does, I think Mike Vrabel deserves a lot of credit for pulling the trigger. Because it's not easy. It's not easy to pull the trigger on a quarterback like Marcus Mariota, regardless of what you see, because you did select him number two overall, and a lot of times you hold on to it. But that move, when we talk about all the coaching moves that have been made this year, I think that's the move that we're going to look at and look at it as the most significant.
And it matters a little bit that you're not personally the one that was on watch when they drafted Mariota, so it makes it a little bit easier. But still, you know, a top pick like that. It's a big move. Tannehill's impressing me. I mean, he's doing more than I thought he would do there, and it helps that you have Derrick Henry. The Titans is it right now for the Texans. But even at that, last night gave you a little bit of a cushion, you know, so you can afford to lose a game that you weren't counting on losing.
And, I mean, if you look at the Titans right now, their remaining games, they host the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Are they going to Oakland to face a Raiders team that's completely plummeting, which means if they beat the Raiders, it'll all but in their playoff hopes,
right.
The Raiders, they're hanging by a string. Then they're going to host the Texans, so they get the home game first, and then they're going to host the Saints, and then they're going to be here for the final game of the year.
The Saints game is going to be big.
Yeah, the Saints game is going to be big, but it might be bigger for the Titans than the Saints because the Saints could actually be in the driver's seat at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
The Saints, they could be, you know, at least entertaining the possibility of resting guys. And, you know, if guys are normally would try to push through it, they might sit them out. So they're getting the Saints, you know, at the end of the season. And if the NFC keeps shaping up the way it is, the Saints could actually be looking at a situation where they don't need that as much as the Titans.
Maybe not, but with the 49ers loss yesterday, now the Saints are looking for number one overall seed potentially, because they and the 49ers are both 10-2. So yeah, it's going to come down to the Titans and the Texans. But what I think is the most important thing here is that the Texans now pretty much are in control and probably in the playoffs for sure.
This is something else to keep an eye on, though. You just mentioned the 49ers and the Saints. The Saints are actually playing the 49ers this week.
There you
go. So that'll be it'll be a little bit more shaped up there. So it's going to be crazy. And the 49ers schedule, I mean, that division as a whole is tough, and they've still got some tough games remaining. But the bottom line is this. The final quarter of the season, when it comes to the race for the division, it couldn't be closer and it couldn't be more entertaining. You got, I mean, the next 4 weeks, John, the next month. Within a month span, we're gonna get to watch the Texans face the Titans twice.
Yep,
it doesn't get much better than that. And it's
high
relevant.
Stakes, man.
It's relevant.
High stakes
it's a relevant matchup between the Texans and Titans. We thought it was gonna be the Colts, and now it's the Titans. Let's hear from the loser himself. Let's hear from Bill Belichick following the Texans' win. I'm going to warn you ahead of time, it's a little bit awkward.
All right, well, there's really not a whole lot to say here. You know, Texans did a good job tonight all the way across the board. In every area, they're just better than we were tonight. And I'm proud of the way our guys fought and competed, but we just got to coach better. We got to play better. We just got to do better than we did tonight. Just wasn't good enough in any area. And they were the better team. So I think that pretty much sums it up.
How much of an effect did the illnesses play in today's game?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there cause for concern about the level of performance from the offense?
Give up 28 points. I mean, didn't really make any plays in the kicking game. So we got to perform better.
Well, did you see, notice any frustration with Tom in the offense, especially in that first half?
Again, I don't think we played a good, you know, well, in the first half, it wasn't good enough in any phase of the game.
Coach, Texans on offense, they show any difference with any quirks at the running backs or tight ends maybe they haven't shown in the past based on some of the personnel packages you have in defense?
They did a good job executing. They made quite a few plays on second down. Scored in the right area. You know, couldn't stop them in the right area, so that would have helped us a lot, but we couldn't do it. No. Nope. Didn't have a good play.
Any other questions, guys?
Okay.
That's the loser
that
from last night.
Is awkward.
We'll hear from the winner in about an hour, Bill O'Brien, talking about everything going on, including a potential return of J.J. Watt to the Texans, which was put out there. And also some news outside of what actually happened yesterday. According to Ian Rappaport, the Texans are not planning on trying to hire a GM this offseason.
Oh, we'll get to that for sure this week. I think the thing that is interesting with Belichick is, you know, he touched on, obviously, one of the biggest keys is the red area, the red zone, they call it, and so does Bill O'Brien, the red area. The Texans' defense just, you know, we understand, you know, about the Patriots' defense. We understand about the Texans' struggles, as we just mentioned, against the run. They made big plays, though, and I thought the secondary was at the top of the list. And a lot of those guys in the secondary weren't even Texans, you know, in the summer. And that's where Bill O'Brien or Sean Pendergast says William O'Brien, the general manager, deserves a lot of credit. Big plays last night were made by guys that weren't even here.
I mean, Bradley Roby. I think Bradley Roby's a guy that they need to look into signing, you know, before the season. I think he's a player. Mm-hmm. The 1 year prove it deal's paid off. And when you immediately step on the field after being out that long and make plays like he did yesterday with the sack and the interception, you deserve a lot of credit there. But I think offensively is really where Bill O'Brien's done his work, because the secondary, the bringing in a die, the bringing in Roby, mm-hmm. The Lonnie Johnson, all that stuff. That was Brian Gain was here for that. But as far as the offense, and you look at what the offense did yesterday, it was on display. I mean, you had Kenny Still scoring a touchdown. He was part of the trade with Laremy Tunsil. You had Duke Johnson scoring. We've seen what Carlos Hyde's done all year. I think if we're going to talk about B.O.B., the GM, I think he deserves credit for what he did on offense. But I get what you're saying on defense, but I think Brian Gain also had a hand in that.
He did, but some of the guys in the secondary that have been coming in, you know, Hargraves and some of these others, Bill O'Brien has been the general manager. They're making some key contributions. Bill O'Brien, the GM, deserves credit for that. I think he also deserves credit for the play calling. I don't know, you know, the Darren Fells touchdown was, I don't know if I've seen that. Maybe he's run it and they didn't.
Yeah,
go
they
to
ran
that
it
option,
a lot against Kansas City,
but they didn't go to that option. You know, yeah. They had the stacked, and then of course the trick play. I don't know if Deshaun Watson has a bigger impact. You heard the audio earlier, Deshaun, and I guess AJ McCarron went to Bill O'Brien with that trick play to say, hey, I think we can do this. That's really revealing, and it's something that maybe you didn't think Bill O'Brien would be receptive to. Is like two players coming to him and saying, hey, let's try to run this. installing it, practicing it, having it in the game plan for about a month or whatever it's been, and then using it like that, whether it's Tim Kelly, it's Deshaun Watson's influence, or it's Bill O'Brien, that's pretty impressive. That was the key touch, one of the key touchdowns of the game.
I mean, ballers are going to ball and make plays, but that was so close to being a disaster too.
It was a high pitch.
I mean,
or pass.
Yeah, and he got hit right when he like that. Good job by Nuke Hopkins pulling that off, and Deshaun just did. He looked like he was playing Madden, diving into that end zone, but. That was very close to not going well, but baller's going to ball. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Jack. Jack, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just been listening to your show and others, and I don't hear enough talk about the Broncos. And if the team is looking forward to the Titans and, what is it, Tampa Bay, and forgetting about the Broncos, I think we're set up for a trap game here.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Trap.
I'll tell you what, if they lose, that's what people are going to call it.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, obviously you got to win the games that are in front of you, but there's no excuse not to beat Denver. I mean, you're facing a rookie quarterback making his second start. I don't care about the Denver Broncos, and I don't really respect them as a football team this year, quite honestly. The defense has been a disappointment with Vic Fangio, so I understand that Von Miller's still there, and you know they got some running back. They got Philip Lindsay's kind of a little bit like a one of those guys that you can throw the rock to out of the backfield. But yeah, I'm not worried about Denver. But the reason we're talking about Tennessee is because it's the division, and you're going to face them twice. That's the thing.
Well, what you just described about the Broncos is kind of the definition of a trap game.
Yeah,
you
know, I don't respect them.
A team that has some talent here and there, but has been underachieving. Heck, until this past Sunday, they lost 4 out of 5 games and were in a downward spiral. I get his point. That's kind of the definition of a trap game, but I don't see it happening. I mean, they're on such a
You've thought that before, and it's happened.
Sure, and it's the NFL. I mean, not to sound like a cliche.
Okay, coach.
Yeah, not to sound like a cliche, but it's true. But I'm just saying, I don't expect that at all this week.
Yeah, I'm really not. I'm not too concerned about the Broncos. That's just me, though. Just whatever. I mean, if would it shock me if they lost?
No.
No, but I mean, I'm not worried about it.
Right.
Not even a little bit. But Vic Fangio's going to be back. I know Seth Payne thinks very highly of Vic Fangio. So we'll see. I mean, it could definitely happen. The spread right now is 7.5. 713-572-4610. We'll hear from Bill O'Brien in the final segment of the show. He talked about the win. Obviously, he tried to minimize. He also talked about Titus Howard going to injured reserve and J.J. Watt. But let's go outside of Houston. Let's go around the NFL because it was a very active week in the NFL, around the NFL, week 13 next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.